I've been a primary author of two of the largest tax cuts in the history of our state.
Let the eagle soar.
Son, go outside and dust yourself off. And when you feel good again, come back in and talk to me. We know what they would have done because we know what they did.
Payroll. I've been there. Payroll.
Corrupt career politicians.
What I am trying to do to simply make tomorrow just a little bit better than today.
Welcome to the Hashtag MoleEdge Podcast. We are very glad to be here. A little bit of revamp format you're already going to see. We're going to try a few different things, I think, try to give you a fun look at the week in politics. So thank you again for joining us, Hashtag MoleEdge Podcast. Every week I like to thank our sponsors, St. Louis Chamber of Commerce, Republic Services, the Carpenters Union. They're the ones that allow us to bring you this every week. We're always thankful to them. I want to introduce somebody that we're trying to lobby, so we need some social media help here, to be our co-host, Becky Lohman with Catalyst Group. They call her Becky, third red and finally passed. They call her the queen of the rotunda. So we're very glad to have Becky Lohman join us. Hopefully, if we do a good enough job and she doesn't hate it, maybe join us for the next several podcasts. So welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think we're going to have some fun. This is going to be good.
I think it's going to be as much fun as you could possibly have discussing Missouri politics. But let's talk about what happened this week. The governor's race looked a little stable. In our polls, we went from about a one-point difference, Koster up 7, about a half step up. But if you're Greitens, you're not devastated to be down 7 at this point.
No, I don't think so. They seem kind of gridlocked in that 5 to 7 point spot. And I think Greitens is doing a good job hitting Koster with the Obamacare and Medicaid expansion stuff. So it'll be interesting to see how Koster responds to it. I think that'll be a big thing to watch next polling.
We also looked at the AG's race. I think this is probably the most competitive and intriguing down-ticket race. I think the Carnahan-Parson race is developing a kind of a follow in the ticket field. But we looked at Josh Hawley. He's got a 6-point lead on Teresa Ansley. The argument that AGs have won on in the past is I've prosecuted people. But the Democrat has had the financial advantage. This time, Hawley's got a huge financial advantage.
Yeah, and I think when it was 1993 was the last time we had a Republican attorney general, right?
I
read that in a newspaper somewhere. So I think Holly has a good chance. It'll be interesting. I think Holly's going to pull it out, but we'll see.
Yep, and then lastly, Eric Schmidt has a 9-point lead over Judy Baker. His commercial, his first one, a minute long, outstanding.
It was impressive. It was emotional and it was sincere, and it reminds you why somebody like Eric gets into politics to better the community based on his experience in Missouri.
Now every week we bring you a third person. This week we're very excited to bring you. We're just going to call you Senator Bill Eigel. I think some folks will call him the new Tom Dempsey. Some folks will call him the senator from St. Charles. But a guy that really burst on the political scene. I think that one of the reasons we're excited to have you on this first time was a lot of folks might not know you. So thank you very much for joining us on the Hashtag MoleEdge Podcast.
Absolutely, Scott. Happy to be here.
So break it down. You're living your life, business owner, right, with a family, normal life that everyone would like to have, and then you decide to get into politics. Like, did you lose a bet?
No, actually, I got involved, and I had avoided. I was one of an individual that had avoided politics for a long time. And a couple years ago, I went down to the mailbox. We have a small business that has 18 employees, and we provide health insurance. I went down to the mailbox and found out my health insurance premiums were going to go through the roof to the tune of 70% in 1 year. And that led to a discussion between my wife, Amanda, and I, where we decided we had to find a way to get involved. And that is the quick story of what ultimately led to me getting involved in politics, ultimately running for office, and here we are today.
So cool. So you made a run at state senate. Mm-hmm. Is that an interest in state government? Is that the office that came open, or what led you to state senate?
Well, I think in particular the state senate, in the senate side of things, you have not only the opportunity to propose good legislation, but you have the opportunity to stall or kill bad legislation. In an era where I think we have more and more government and folks are resonating with the message of less and less government, the ability to slow legislation and to ultimately kill legislation, I think, is a good thing. That's very appealing to me. And as my wife likes to say, I like to talk anyway, so maybe that's
you'll fit right in.
Well, I always look at people in Becky's profession, and I'm like, why don't we get rid of some laws? laws, right? I love that, but I don't think that's what that's not what Becky comes to Jeff City to do. I think generally is get rid of laws. But I'm always like, you're Republicans. Why don't you get rid of some of the laws? I mean, do you really need 15 reasons for the government to pull you over? Honestly, no. Maybe they could just leave people alone and not bug them.
Let them live.
Yeah, I love Tillmeyer, but like, I don't want to be pulled over. I mean, if you're driving 100, all right, you know. But if your taillight's out, yeah, maybe mail them something, right? I mean, there's technology for that. So when you come in, one of the issues that I know was a big part of the campaign was the abortion issue. Very pro-life, right?
Absolutely, 100% pro-life.
Interesting times for Missouri Right to Life. It's they came into they're in the governor's race now, and they're probably in the toughest spot I've ever seen them in since the stem cell debate raged about 10 years ago. They had a guy that really shunned them in the primary. They come out very vocally against. He won a pretty divided primary race, and now he's kind of came to them 11th hour and wants an endorsement. You've dealt with the Missouri Right to Life folks. I think they're counting on you quite a bit in the next session. Where do you think they are with that? And how was walk us through a person that wants the NRA's, or I'm sorry, the Missouri Right to Life's endorsement, and how that process is. How do you go through that?
Well, it's a pretty straightforward process. There's a couple things that go into that. One, you have to fill out a survey that asks you specific questions about where you are on different issues related to the life issue. I've also had several conversations with folks over there at Missouri Right to Life, and especially as somebody who hasn't been in office, they took some extra time to get to know me to make sure that I was a good fit for them. Now, in my primary race, they actually endorsed a couple candidates, myself and one of my opponents. And now, of course, in my general election, I'm the only one that's endorsed because my opponent has come out and indicated that he is pro-choice. I think that, you know, in the governor's case, I'm sure they're doing the same thing. And in the governor's primary, they had some good choices there, and I think they endorsed three out of the four candidates. One of the things that I found out after my primary is I was in an amazing opportunity to build bridges and connect with folks that for whatever reason I couldn't do so before. And I think that Eric Reitens is in that situation today, and he's trying to build the same kind of bridges that I think any Republican nominee, whatever the reason was that he didn't get that done before the primary, he's been very clear. I think that he's a pro-life guy, and he's been doing everything he can to bring on the right type of allies, and Missouri Right to Life is one of them.
So knowing what you know about that endorsement process, what do you think happens with that?
I'm so busy with my primary, I couldn't honestly tell you what went on the inside, why whatever didn't happen in another campaign. I'm not in a good position to comment on that. But I can tell you he's been much more aggressive, and I think that's a good thing about securing that endorsement, reaching out and building bridges. That's the essence of politics and campaigning right now is to build bridges. And any chance he gets to do that, I think he's trying to do that, and I applaud that.
So let me ask you this for the next Bill Igel out there that's a businessman that might happen on our podcast. Might have heard Becky was going to start being on, so he decided to listen so it wouldn't be so boring. But did you reach out to Right to Life? Did they reach out to you? Did you reach out to them before the survey, or how'd that go down?
It was a combination of things. I reached out to them. My campaign reached out to them, and they were very receptive and had already sent information over to our side. So it just felt like a natural fit for us. But that was something that I identified early on that I was interested. I was going to pursue trying to get their endorsement. This was a process we started, in the middle of the spring. So it was pretty early on. So we were aggressive about it, and it worked out fine for us.
Yeah, no, that looked like a big turning point when Right to Life came out for somebody that didn't have a legislative record. Mm-hmm. That looked like a big credibility booster. Every week, we always want to thank the folks at the Republic Services, the Carpenters Union, the St. Louis Chamber of Commerce for sponsoring the hashtag Bowl Edge podcast. Becky Lohman is with us again as helping as co-host. And I'm Scott Fahn. You may already knew that, but we have we're senator to be, maybe Bill Igel. So the district, you have a relatively competitive district, though, right? That St. Charles is not a give-me seat for Republicans anymore, correct?
Well, all of St. Charles, I think, has been getting more conservative and more Republican each year that goes by. And I think the demographics of today indicate that the folks, the constituents over there, are looking for somebody that shares my beliefs of being a pro-life guy, a pro-Second Amendment guy, a guy that does want less. We were talking about less government a minute ago. And there's really only two ways to objectively measure the growth of government: dollars spent and lines of code that the citizen has to comply with. So somebody that's going to go and fight against those, slow the process down to enact new legislation. And I think that we're the only person in this race that has that message.
That is interesting. I mean, I know there's a lot of folks that looked at yours and Representative Koenig's victories as a victory for the right perspective of the Republican caucus. I think that's interesting. A lot of times people run as conservative, but by God, they can't wait to pass laws. And the other conservatives are like, whoa, where did Lincoln Day Senator go? Last 2 weeks of session is it's almost like Jefferson Jackson Day Senator. It's not Lincoln Day Senator. That guy was going to cut government taxes. This guy's, where's the tax cut, man? It's like, when's the tax get passed? But yeah, interesting your perspective. A new senator comes in, somebody that steps out. We saw that in Doug Leibla has stepped in. Gary Romine had worked on some staffs, but he was a person that hadn't been in the House. Mike Kehoe came in, certainly with government experience, but he had never served in the Senate. What do you think when you come in, what do you look for?
You know, I think there's been a lot of void. Senator Schmidt, Senator Dempsey stepping out, especially for the business community. And with someone that doesn't have a voting record, can kind of pave your own path. You can kind of create your own reality for yourself, right? And you've done a good job of reaching out, getting those endorsements, building those relationships. And I think you probably have hit the ground harder than anyone, knocking on as many doors and getting your name out there. So you're probably really in tune with your community, more so than someone that perhaps has a secure Republican seat or they know they're comfortable. So I definitely think there's an opportunity to pave the way, make those relationships with the business leaders in your community, and kind of assert yourself as representing them.
Well, that's an issue that I know the Missouri Times is working on an article right now that you started the last legislative session with the Speaker of the House, John Deal, being in the St. Louis area, the leader in the Senate, Tom Dempsey, being your predecessor, and Eric Schmidt being the head of economic development and a leading statewide candidate, all being in the St. Louis area, the business community, when they needed something in St. Louis. And it's always, as just a simple hillbilly from West Butler County, we like to make sure that we feel like we don't like St. Louis. But there's no roads in Poplar Bluff. There's no free cheese in Poplar Bluff without a St. Louis business community. And those folks had some different avenues to turn to. All those guys are gone. And I've seen that you've met different people, and you may be hearing this. Are you somebody that they can turn to not only hear their concerns, but also explain to them some of the actual practical things on the ground in Jeff City?
Well, first, before I say anything else, I would identify that there are already some good voices out there that have been speaking for the St. Louis area. Senator Bob Onder over on the western side of St. Charles County. We have Senator Dave Schatz in kind of the Wildwood and further out south west of the city. And then, of course, I'm very excited about Senator-elect, as I'll call him, Andrew Koenig. He's come in the door, and he has been a voice for the St. Louis area for the past 8 years. So there's a lot to be excited about. As for what I'm trying to do, I have, as I said before, I saw our victory in the primary as a great opportunity to build bridges in places that, for whatever reason, we couldn't do so before. So I've gone out of my way to reach out to the business community, the leadership over in St. Charles County, and I feel like we've done a really good job building those bridges and setting up those relationships that will really help not just St. Charles County, but the St. Louis metro area and Missouri. And the funny thing about St. Louis is the things that are good for St. Louis are good for the state as a whole. The things that I've been talking about, whether it's tax reform or labor reform or tort reform or some ethics reform, these are things that are not just going to make the St. Louis region stronger, they're going to make the whole state stronger. So if I have an opportunity to either be that voice or be the guy that listens to businesses, whether it's small business owners or it's large corporations, that's something that I would embrace.
I think even with the St. Louis Chamber, it reaches out into Illinois even, but certainly over into St. Charles. I think as a person that lives in St. Louis some now, that's not from here, you know, it really is a regional thing, even Jefferson County, it pulls together. I think it is an interesting time of transition in who's going to be speaking on behalf of that business community, and you have one advantage that some others don't. You're actually a businessman. You run a business in that community. Tell us about the business you do.
Well, for the past 10 years, I've been the owner of St. Louis Skylights. I like to joke we make a living cutting holes in people's roofs, and I've been saying that now for several years. We've done that, and, Amanda and I have been very fortunate. We've been very successful, and before we were business owners, we were military veterans. We served in the Air Force, and we enjoyed public service.
Your wife did as well?
She did. She was a maintenance officer just like I was. She served 5.5 years. I served 7.5 years. Trust me, she outranked me by a whole lot, though, so it's okay.
Probably reminds you of that daily, yes?
Yes, absolutely. That's just how it goes. But it's been something that we've always wanted to get back to, and really running for the Senate seat was an opportunity to do so. So it's I think it's a good match.
So when you had the Senate, have you had conversations with the leadership yet about what committee you wanted to look at?
Sure,
Your issue focuses?
Of course, we've had those conversations, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because we are trying to finish up an election next month, which I'm optimistic about. But we've had issues. I expect to be involved in the things that I've been talking about for the past year and a half. We talk about tax reform. I remember being on your show a couple months ago, and your question was, are we going to cut taxes? I think there should always be a Republican plan to cut taxes and cut spending and cut the size and scope of government in the legislature. That should be happening every year. You mentioned Eric Schmidt. You know, he had a tax plan that didn't get enough discussion, I think, and we may resurrect that. We may look at doing some other things. So I'm very optimistic. I just can't wait to get started.
So let's want to do a new segment we have called Five Questions. But first, I want to take a second. Always go back and thank, and that's a good thing about having a businessman on here. He'll understand and appreciate this. We thank our sponsors, Republic Services, the St. Louis Chamber, and the Carbers Union for making the hashtag MoLeds podcast possible. We're joined by myself, Becky Lohman, and Bill Eichel. We're going to almost call him senator again. I wonder if anybody would take a bet that he won't be a senator. If you would, private message me on Twitter at Scott Fawn. But let's do our five question segment. This we want to try to get to know you and a little more about what you do. And so I always think it's interesting. You run into people that want to work with you, but it's always nice if they kind of know a little bit about you. And you may know more about them than they know about you. Becky, we got five questions for him?
Yeah, we got five questions. It's going to be a little fun, and it's not going to be too much political stuff. We're going to give you a chance to talk about something else other than your stance on all the issues. So,
that's good. That sounds good.
yeah, right. With a breath of fresh air. Last song you listened to on shuffle. Could be in your car, on your phone. Last song you listened to. These are the tough questions.
What's the last song you listened to, Meg? That's what I want to know.
Led Zeppelin, Hey, What Can I Do?
It was the last song I listened to was Dave Matthews Band, Satellite.
Okay, nice. That's good.
Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah, you had kids. I didn't know if it was going to be some Nickelodeon cartoon that you listened to in the car.
My son listens to Skinner. He's 6 months old.
I was raised. I wasn't allowed to listen to the Britney Spears. My dad played Led Zeppelin through and through. So.
Nice.
You can wave a magic wand, change one law in Missouri your first day of office. What do you do?
I'd get rid of the income tax.
Okay. We're like rapid firing these.
Boom.
Okay,
this is the candid response, right? You don't want me to think about these answers.
No, this is
the candid response. I don't know if you thought about it. I love that response so much that I don't know if you thought about it or not, but that's outstanding.
Okay. So you're trapped on an island with one member of the Missouri Senate. Who do you pick?
That is a tough question.
We told you.
A tough one because no one would want to be trapped on an island with
you. You get to pick.
Can I throw out a name that
okay.
I would want?
Okay.
I would want to be trapped on the island with Ron Richard because I think Ron Richard's a smart guy, and you could talk about interesting. But I think Ron Richard's the funniest dude when he's not even trying to be funny. Like when he at the roast we did a couple years ago, he was dropping heat, and I don't even think he was trying. I would go Ron Richard.
Yeah, that's your vote. Okay, that's fair. I'm trying to.
Does he have any survival skills? I'll have to ask him about that. I'm trying to think of somebody. See, I try to be more pragmatic. Who can build a hut? He can probably teach me to bowl.
If he was on the island, he could probably teach you to bowl.
Dave Schatz might have. You know, Dave's he's an outdoorsman.
Yeah.
So he might be a good choice.
Okay, so Senator Schatz. Okay.
Not a bad choice.
Rubber stamping Senator Schatz on the island.
Got it.
Name a person you admire in Missouri politics.
In Missouri politics,
yep.
Well, certainly I admire Bob Onder. He was a guy that I got involved with very early on in my primary, and I've learned a tremendous amount from him. And he's the guy, really, that I'm looking forward to fighting some of these battles down in Jefferson City, because that would be the top of my answer for him.
One of the last campaigns I actually ever put up signs was when he ran for Congress. And I remember it well, and I don't miss it, actually.
Yeah.
I like Bob Onder's wife a lot, and I sure wanted him to win, but that's the one part of politics I didn't miss was the sign putting up.
See, I got to jump over that, and I don't know if that's not me paying my dues, but I've never stuck any yard signs out for anyone.
I don't know.
In my own yard. But that's it.
That's a good five.
I guess I shouldn't announce this to folks. Yeah, I should now, probably keep this close to
you need a yard sign in Columbia. Contact Becky.
You know who else I'd throw out there? The person that probably one of the very first people I ever met in as I began developing a political network was Jim Lemke. And Jim, actually, after all the hours we spent knocking doors, I've learned a tremendous amount from Jim. So he's going to be down there.
What
with
a gentleman, too.
Absolutely.
You get it.
Absolutely.
You see politics sometimes, especially at the federal level, but even at the state level, as some of the stuff from the Star and the Post have happened, it divides people. It makes people not want to see themselves at a restaurant and say hi. It makes you kind of go up in your own groups, and you miss people like a Jim Lemke, who is truly a gentleman. You look at when you have kids, you look at somebody you'd like your kids to be like. Jim Lemke, truly, whether you disagree with him on everything or agree with him, I believe he treats you roughly the same, and I respect the hell out of that. You know?
Yeah. Okay, so the last one. We've been hearing a lot about America being great, right? And I think a lot, I think on both sides of the aisle, there's frustration with where we are currently. When is the last time you think America was great?
Well, I don't think that necessarily America ever stopped at being great. I think that we've kind of gotten away from some of the basic tenets that made us strong in the first place, and we're putting ourselves at risk to move forward. The more government grows, the more we get away from those original founding principles. The more taxes go up or regulations get placed on the citizen, the more we get away. We're still a great nation, and I tell you what, this is still the greatest place on earth to live. As a military veteran, I've been overseas. I've seen what the alternatives are. This is the greatest nation on earth, but I want to keep it that way. So I think there's some work we need to do.
Okay, I thought America was last, its greatest.
No, it could have been.
Well, the last time we were truly great was October 2011. The last time the Cardinals won the World Series, David Freese, American hero. All right, let's talk politics now. You saw the polling we did this week. Maybe you've seen it going forward, but we have a poll that showed the race roughly where it was last week, well within the margin of error. It could be a 4-point race, could be 7 or, I guess, 9-point race. It looks like Greitens is a half step behind Koster. To me, it looks like he's found something that's not everybody you're going to serve with is corrupt criminals. It's not some kind of thing you have to force. It is truly Chris Koster. It's on his Twitter feed. Even yesterday, he's for Medicaid expansion. Eric Greitens says he's not. Chris Koster endorsed Hillary Clinton. Eric Greitens didn't. He's found two things that are serious adult issues that he can hit him with. I think maybe he may have found the right attack.
Well, I think Eric is in the midst of the same type of surge in the polls that he experienced when he was going through the gubernatorial primary. If you go back to 90 days before that primary, he was, I think, near the bottom of those polls. As his message really started to get going, he surged and ultimately won a 4-way race by 10 points. We've seen tightening in the polls in this race, the general election now. I've heard actually 3 different polls, including the one that you did yesterday, that show the race anywhere from 7 down to 1 point. So I think this race is narrowing dramatically, and I expect it to continue. I think Eric has both the resources to get his message out and, as you just described, the message to get it done. He's running against somebody that represents the lifelong politician that a lot of folks today, the electorate is telling us they don't want as their leaders moving forward. So I think it's a message that will resonate, and I'm very optimistic about the results.
So I always said this is interesting. I saw Senator Libla, somebody that I knew, my state senator. He came and he never ran for office, never been in elected office before. He comes out, and you know, it's a new thing. He has to kind of learn how to, you know, politics is different than anything else you're ever going to do in life. I looked at Eric Greitens. It took him a little bit to kind of get his feet under him, but he has unlimited resources, which is an amazing thing any politician would love to have. You had the same transition. You think it took him a little bit in the general election to get his sea legs under him, and now that he does, you're seeing the competitive race we all thought would be there.
Absolutely. And I'm a newcomer, yeah. So I had challenges in my own race as well where I didn't always make every perfect move, and that's a learning process you got to go through anytime you switch career fields. But the good news is here we are today, and he is surging.
So let me ask you from your perspective. You're actually out talking to people every day running for office. You're talking to not, you know, politicians and reporters and stuff. You're on the ground. You see the race at about a half step. Greitens behind Koster, maybe gaining.
Well, I tell you, out in St. Charles County, I think Mr. Greitens is a half step ahead.
Do you think to win the election, he's going to have to be a half step ahead in St. Charles County?
Absolutely.
I think
he might
where
have to
he
be a
needs
couple
to
steps.
Be. Yeah.
I think he has to be a couple steps
I think,
ahead.
I think subjectively, when you look at all the data together, I'd say that he's probably is a half step behind Koster. But if
statewide, sure.
Yeah, if you're Eric Greitens, you've got to be thrilled there. If you would have definitely took this starting in the primary. You said, I'd love to be down somewhere between 4-7, maybe 1, but
absolutely.
A little bit behind. Poll on the ground, Schmidt up 9, the AG's race, you have Hawley up 6. Is that where you see the race?
Absolutely. These are both of those individuals, Senator Schmidt and Mr. Hawley, are individuals that have really spread out a message of smaller government, conservative principles. I've seen and met Josh Hawley. I like what he has to say, and I think that his message is resonating dramatically. He had a huge primary win.
The guy can campaign, can't he?
He's
got a knack
job
for this.
He does a good job, and Senator Schmidt He's a voice that the St. Louis region came to know for a long time as a leader, and because he's doing so well, I think, in the St. Louis area, that's going to translate well on a statewide basis.
I shared your number with Mark Reardon. Mark Reardon, if Schmidt wins, he'll be very proud that he was the official state senator of the Mark Reardon Show on Campbell X. If he loses, he'll probably never admit it and delete the tapes. But I think you're the strong contender to pick up that mantle. But let's ask about a couple St. Charles County races. Senator Robert Cornejo is always in a competitive district, but seems like he wins, right?
Absolutely.
Nick Shore probably comes in. Phil Cristofanelli. It looks like the St. Charles County race is always somewhere the Democrats think they might compete.
In fact, if you're asking for me for a prediction on St. Charles County races, I think that what we're going to find on election night is for the House and the Senate, of course, all of St. Charles County will be represented by a Republican. So I think that we've got a real good message there.
Hannigan, is that even a race still, or is he pulling away?
I think he's beginning to pull away as well. Yeah. You know, he's well known in that community. I've had great conversations with Tom. I think he's going to win. I won't give you a number, but I think he's going to win by a comfortable margin.
Yeah, it looked like that's a place, that's a district that could have been competitive and just kind of didn't end up being competitive. It looks like he's doing what he needs to do. So you think all of St. Charles, the Republicans, keep every seat?
Including, we'll pick up one for the 70th, which stretches into St. Charles County.
Bold prediction.
Mark Mathiesen has been working very hard out
there. Nice guy, too.
Love Mark. He's going to be great representative for those folks out there. And I don't know anybody that's actually working harder. So I think that if I had to make a surprise prediction, I think Mark's
going to I tell you what, I'll bet you a cup of coffee on that race.
Okay.
I think that's a stretch. If you guys win that, the Democrats might be able to fit in a van, you know, for field trips. That seems like the competitive one. I'll go the cup of coffee bet on that one if you'll take it.
I'll take that bet.
Sweet. New feature we're going to wrap up with each week. Tweet of the week. What do you got?
Tweet of the week. So the Clinton campaign allegedly dumped human waste in Georgia on their tour. And we have Speaker Richardson, his tweet. So that's @rep_T_Richardson. This didn't happen on our tour last week. CC Mike Sierpour. They were touring the state, and I guess they wanted to make sure
it was
that they're being responsible, unlike the Hillary Clinton campaign.
The two of them were like a buddy movie.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, happy to be here. This is fun.
Mr. Eigel, hope we'll call you Senator when next time we have you on.
Great. Glad to be here. Come back anytime.
I want to thank all of our friends at Republic Services, St. Louis Chamber, and the Carpentier for making this possible. We'll see you next week on the #MoleEdge podcast.
Bye, guys.